In New York, as Human Rights Watch, we had very productive meetings with the representatives on the Africa section from the UN OCHA, the Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, as well as UN Habitat, and other officials within the UNDP are in New York. So they received well our recommendations, and the discussions, I must say, were very fruitful. But what it means also is that we are continuing with the engagement with UN officials in Zimbabwe to try and emphasize what needs to be done urgently.
Jeff, what role can the United Nations play here? Remember last time there was the Tibaijuka report. After more than 700,000 people were displaced, the UN sent a rapporteur, there were recommendations, but there was no follow-through.
Sure, exactly. As you mentioned, there was no follow-through. And again, you know, I think the current predicament that many of these people find themselves in Zimbabwe, and it's not just confined to the flood victims, of course, that's a huge and serious and ongoing problem, but it's indicative of the bigger problems in Zimbabwe. Mugabe, as the current head of the African Union, for instance, in his first speech said his focus for this year will be uplifting people from poverty and from want. And clearly that is not happening in his own country. So I think a lot of work needs to be done within the ZANU-PF government to help those people in need. Right now you have one-third of Zimbabwe's rural population that needs food assistance from the United Nations, for instance. This is a country that is more than capable of feeding itself, not only feeding itself, but feeding the region. As many people remember, it was an exporter, a net exporter of goods and of food.
Now, turning back to you, Mr. Mavinga, can the international community be trusted to deal with this problem? I mean, for instance, you have what I can call a policy contradiction when it comes to dealing with Zimbabwe. You have the EU easing sanctions, obviously, and dealing directly with the Zimbabwe government, and you have the US government, for example, still maintaining those targeted sanctions.
Well, I think what needs to be clear to the international community is that whatever form of re-engagement that takes place need not sacrifice human rights protection.
Mr. Smith, your take on these seemingly policy contradictions?
Yeah, there's certainly been some distance between the European Union, for instance, and Washington in terms of their policy towards Zimbabwe and the ZANU-PF government. But I think, you know, we have to remind ourselves why these targeted financial restrictions are put in place in the first instance, and it's because a fundamental lack of democracy, respect for human rights, and the rule of law. And we really have to be honest with ourselves, and the Zimbabwean government has to be honest with themselves too and answer the question, has Zimbabwe restored respect for democracy, respect for human rights and the rule of law? And the simple answer is no. You know, there's still widespread repression against civil society, against the opposition. We see what's happening with the flood victims. As I said, it's indicative of a larger rule of law problem that Dewa also touched on. Secondly, you know, there's this argument that re-engagement from the West or from the EU can help lead to reform. I am not convinced that can happen. As I said, those basic benchmarks have not been met over the past, over the past decade.